Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini 139. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your host, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How's it going over there?
It's good. Is it still weird to like talk about yourself in third person? Is
yes.
Yeah, I thought so. It seemed like it.
Outer body experience.
It is, right?
if you listen to our previous episode, mm-hmm. During the time that we recorded these episodes, Todd needed a little mental break. And we said, well, we'll let it slide this time. We'll give you that mental break.
Are we taking away zeros? Are we adding zeros? What are we doing?
Oh, he's lost all of his
zeros. All of his zeros? Yeah. Oh, man.
He had to cash them in.
Shoo. Cash in all his chips. yeah, we miss Todd, though, when he's not here. I mean, yeah. We truly do. But, yep. Yeah, we're mixing up a little bit more by letting you do the all his parts.
Yeah. So, and he wanted to make sure to pass along that... he appreciates all the creepies, and he says hi. And
yeah, he did say that.
And he's doing fine. It just, he needed a,
did he, wait, he
needed
said
a
they,
moment.
Didn't he say they're number one? Is that what? No. He did not say that. I mean, he did, but not like that. Not in the ordinary way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So your night's been good so far? I won't say your week, because I know it's only Monday. We're recording on a different night this week, too.
I'll get in this real quick.
Go for it.
This week has started off better than last week.
Yeah.
By far. Because Monday of last week, I hit a chunk of concrete. And I may have talked about it in the last week episode. I cannot remember. But I'll bring it up again.
I think you might have a little bit because Todd had his issue. And then we were talking about your... Yeah.
So, yeah. I hit that chunk of concrete and messed up the front bumper.
Yeah.
And, but I'm... Parts for that should have been showing up today. Mm-hmm. As we speak, and we went to a band competition on Saturday
for Dane,
and
which he did really well.
Me
by
and
the way.
Rachel volunteered to help out and move the props and load the trucks and move equipment.
Yeah,
and we're getting back to our vehicle to head back to Plainfield High School to help unload all the trucks. Mm-hmm. And as we get out there, there's a note underneath the windshield wiper. It says, sorry, I backed into your vehicle.
But Rachel told you not to get it because she thought maybe it was like human trafficking somebody going to steal your, your vehicle.
But anyhow, he was very kind, left his number. We exchanged information, and he went ahead and started the insurance policy claim and all that stuff.
Which is awesome, yeah. Best case scenario, right?
Yeah, so
went
awesome
from worst case scenario to best case
but
scenario.
Now we have two vehicles with front end damage that need the whole front end repaired on both of them.
Yep.
So more of a headache and hassle than anything.
I know, that's why. On a good note, though, like you sent, you and Rachel sent Jenna and I the video of Dane and all of his buddies, his brothers and sisters, right, in high school, and they did an amazing job. They looked awesome. They look very awesome.
Yeah, it's very, very fun to watch them.
And Dade said he had a good time, right?
Oh, yeah. And now he understands what all the practicing's for.
Right, exactly, right. Yeah, it's a process.
Yeah. So,
things got to get better then, right?
Yeah. Like I said, today went very smoothly. No vehicles were wrecked.
That's good.
So we're going to keep that pattern going.
You guys had it, you know, Todd had his issues, you've had your two issues now, and then I came home and my two back tires were not flat but they were losing air. And I was like, but they were not rapidly, just like all of a sudden, and I was like, it's got to be just the fact that it was warm and now it's cold again, and I just pumped them up. I think it's fine. But all I could think was, oh god, it's my turn. I gotta do something anyway, right?
Oh yeah.
All right, so we are going to talk about, for this mini, a place called Linwood Hall, right?
Yes.
I'd never heard of it before. Is this someplace that you were familiar with at all?
No. It just came up, I believe, a few weeks ago. I just looked up real haunted homes and stuff like that, and It was one that came up in my searching.
Nice. And that's a good way to find stuff, right?
It ties into the Titanic, so I thought that was very...
love stuff in the Titanic, right?
Yeah, very, very interesting. So
yeah, I love that. I love that time in history. That makes me think. I forgot. I got to tell Todd this too, but I guess he'll hear if he listens to this episode. My mom pointed out today. She texted me. She said, "Hey, I had on my mind that because this ties into to my grandfather who was born in 1902. My grandfather, not my great grandfather, so her father, and he died when she was three. He was born on March 13th, and she said he would have been 122 years old this year on March 13th. He would have turned 122.
Wow.
Isn't that insane to think? And then she said he was born on your podcast anniversary. And so I hadn't got to tell. I was like, I'll tell the guys tonight.
That's cool.
Isn't that cool, though?
Yeah.
But yeah, she's like, I hadn't thought of that. So she said, you guys are connected with your Grandpa Pfizer. So I was like, all that? I'll take it, right?
Pharmaceutical Pfizer?
That's not that kind of Pfizer, no. No, and not that kind of money either. I wish. But anyway, so that makes, because my grandmother was born the same year as the Titanic sank, so.
Oh, okay.
Her mom, so. She would have been very old, too. So this Linwood Hall is a 110-room neoclassical revival mansion in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania, currently undergoing renovations. After sitting nearly vacant for years, it was designed by architect Horace Trumbauer for industrialist Peter A. B. Widener and built between 1897 and 1900. Considered the largest surviving Gilded Age mansion in Philadelphia area, it housed one of the most important Gilded Age private art collections of the European masterpieces and decorative arts, which had been assembled by Widener and his younger son, Joseph E. Widener.
Some of the artworks were from Raphael, Rembrandt, Van Dyck,
the Ninja Turtle,
and El Greco. I've never heard of him.
That sounds made up.
But yeah, this is let's see. Widener's great wealth had been amassed through investments in inner city transportation systems and stock in the United States Steel Corporation, Standard Oil, and Pennsylvania Railroad. So he comes from the long line of that old money. Let's see. When he invested with J.P. Morgan in the White Star Line, little did he know that his son and grandson would die on the maiden voyage of the flagship Titanic. Consumed with guilt and grief, A.B. Widener died in his grand mansion 3 years after the sinking. It is said that the three Widener ghosts are still its caretakers. Its legacy as the world's biggest abandoned ghost house, the mansion was listed at $20 million in 2014 and dropped to $16.5 million in 2015. So apparently they couldn't find any takers.
They turned it, yeah. So it was a school for a while. It was a training for military dogs during World War II. It's been a little bit of everything, but it is extremely expensive right now.
It's a very nice
mansion. It leaks, apparently, and that's why they're trying to renovate it still, because they said before they can renovate everything inside, they've got to make sure the water is not coming in anymore, and because it just destroys things. And there was a lot, you know, like some vandalism and all that kind of stuff in there. But some of the art that was housed in there, like what you're talking about, is just like amazing, you know, what had been in there. There was I did watch some videos of the inside and the outside, and one of those groups, like we were talking in the last recording, where you don't know whether it's really people that sneak in or breaking the law. You know, you wonder if they don't get like permission and then make it look like they're breaking in. But that's what these guys did. They, you know, but they don't seem to be, you know, ashamed of it or afraid to get caught, you know, or for somebody to see the video and like, hey, you broke the law. But this one guy, he had said this is his life's you know, ambition to be in this place because he's wanted to. He said he's been on the property so many times. There was like drone footage and all this. So they had to go through the woods to get there, you know, and they were hiking. And so they made it look like they were really on a mission, so whether it was all staged or not, who knows. Mm. But it was what he showed in there. And he said, you have no idea, because there's still heavy drapery and all this stuff. And, you know, there's, I mean, some of the windows are open and some of it's, you know, you can see, you know, there's light that lights up some of it. But some of those rooms are really like dark. And he said, you have no idea how hot it is right now in here. And they're all sweating like crazy. Yeah. So you can only imagine. But then the main entrance is breathtaking. And he even came in there and he's like,
yeah, it says it has a grand staircase.
It's beautiful. And like, he's like, the artwork and architecture is just so, the detail is just, he's like, I cannot capture it on the video that I'm showing you. He goes, it's amazing, because I guarantee you that this video is not going to give it justice. Yeah. You have to be here to see this.
I wonder if some of the stuff that it used to be decorated with, was salvaged and saved, because it says it has, they brought chairs from Louis the 15th's palace, and Persian rugs and Chinese pottery decorated the 70,000 square foot mega mansion. So it seems like there is a lot of priceless artifacts within this building. Also it had gilded gold doors. So you can't have a mega mansion without gilded gold.
Heck
doors.
Yeah! Did you say what the price was, or what it
what
it's going
what
for?
They're selling it for was, I believe, 20.
Yeah, it's up to 20,
and then they cut it down to 16.5.
Back in 2020, this article says 16 million. So 16 to 20 million. That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
But yeah, but there's also a lot of. I mean, it looks like there's a lot of land that comes with that. But yeah, the renovations are just. It's going to take them a long time to get through all that.
This here says, I'm going through this cool little article, sort of going through the timelines, that they had sold off priceless furnishings and fixtures to raise money, including more than 350 acres of the land. This was when... Let's see. After his death, the home was left empty until radio star Carl McIntyre purchased it a decade later after his death. He turned the home into a religious school.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which closed in 1992 because of the financial
structure. I think it was like Korean-based, yeah. Too. Yep.
So that,
and there's still like schoolroom areas in there and children's stuff, and chalkboards and school desks and all that kind of stuff.
So, yeah, so they started selling off all the priceless furnishings to try to keep it up and going. Did not work, though. Let's see, 4 years later, the building, which was reportedly in need of several fixes that McIntyre never tended to, was given to the First Korean Church of New York. So his church didn't have anything to do with the First Korean Church.
So it's
two different churches. Despite the massive home being built for $8 million in the 1900s, which would add up to around $224 million today with inflation...
So 20 million now is like a steal.
20 million, yeah, 20 million in 2019.
Wow.
So it went back up to 20 million.
It says with the condition of the house long shrouded in secrecy by its current owner, New York urologist and First Korean Church pastor Richard Yoon, it would seem almost anyone's guess how far the Gilded Age estate has fallen. This must have been before now that it's being, it says, except for the YouTubers. So these are a lot of the videos I watched. Mm-hmm. Pull up the YouTube and punch in Linwood Hall and you'll find that although historians and preservationists have been kept out, many foxy photographers and videographers have found their way in. So apparently a lot of these were legit. Videos range from amateur to polished and they're peppered with grainy historical stills, shaky cam shots, doleful drone footage, which I love the drone footage. I thought that was great. And Ken Burns effects aplenty. Soundtracks include Polish death metal, a keyboard version of Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On, and Mac Miller's screeching rendition of House of the Rising Sun. Some shooters respect the boundaries, merely narrating to their cameras from beyond the gates and or floating a drone overhead. Others show the equivalent of a stakeout, arduously avoiding the guard dogs, because there's actual guard dogs there.
Mm-hmm.
All of them captured the fading grandeur and creepy decay, peeling paint, water-damaged ceilings, because there's a lot of them. I saw those. Hunks of marble accumulated in the indoor pool, walls stripped down to the brick. And in the last 6 months, two amateur photographers were permitted inside on separate occasions completely by chance. Colin Patterson, a resident of Richboro, Bucks County, visited Linwood Hall in early March at the encouragement of his friend. Patterson went on Sunday morning with his high-powered lens, plans to shoot from beyond the fence. He had no expectations of getting in, but basically he was able to do that. He said some frequent explorers of the abandoned properties are respectful of the no trespassing signs they come across. We don't break into places. But anyway, so it says some of these people are respectful, some people aren't.
So you would think, though, if you saw these videos, like, you could be turned into the police.
That's my whole point, that I just feels like it's almost like fake, but apparently it's not.
And it sort of looks the outside of it.
This was from 2020, by the way.
Oh, okay. The outside of it, looking at it, it sort of looks like double the size of the White House. It sort of looks like the White House.
Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
massive. Absolutely amazing. But there's all kind of... So there are footsteps. There are shadow people. There are orbs. There are all kind of creepy presences in here. Now, I didn't see... Did you see anything about, like, demonic or evil entities? I didn't see anything like that. No encounters.
Just primarily the father and his... two sons, or maybe it was his son and grandson.
Yep,
that passed away on the Titanic. Those are the main spirits that I come across, as far as still residing at this location.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if you had the coin,
this could be our Mako.
This place would be really
you think
something.
Mako headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
With all the different cars that Todd pulls up, like this, our Mako Mobile.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Even in its current state, I mean, you can really see what it used to be.
Did you say? And you might have already said this, but the Wideners, they went over to get a French chef on the Titanic, and when they came back, it obviously sank. But that's what they were doing over in Europe, is getting a chef,
getting a personal chef
from like Paris.
That'll
or whatever.
Teach you.
Yeah, right.
Cook your own food.
So yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, that's kind of interesting, though, right?
Heck yeah. Yeah, I love how it has ties to the Titanic, because I mean, everybody knows the history of the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, then look it up, I guess.
Yeah, right. We've talked about it enough.
Oh, yeah. So is this one on the list?
For sure. This is definitely one the three of us would just like. I mean, this is like our Disney World.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
definitely.
Truly. But yeah, for sure. I love it. I love the pictures. I love the fact that I've not ever seen it before or heard about it. I didn't know the ties about the Titanic, so it was fun to look into it. A lot of the videos of just showing how ornate it is, the architecture, the art.
I wish it was...
closer.
Yeah, closer. but still captured in its glory days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd like to
like
see that.
Like a museum. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be... Well, I mean, we went and saw... what's the one in Asheville?
Oh my gosh, we're going to have a middle-aged moment.
I see it. Starts with a B.
Mm-hmm. I always say Brentwood, but that's not Brentwood.
No, it's not Brentwood.
It's not Brentwood.
Biltmore.
Biltmore, yep.
So that one is...
Mm-hmm. That's got a long ways to go to catch up with that one. But
it still has all the arts in it. It still has all the furniture and all the decor and all the priceless stuff. And it would have been so awesome to see this
like
that.
Oh, absolutely. So it's... But it, at least it's in the restoration phase and it's heading in the right direction, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully it doesn't get in so disrepair that they just knock it down, you know?
Yeah.
Hi!
You made it.
Hey!
We're still recording? We are not done recording. Jump on here real
mini.
Quick.
It's the mini.
Come on, Todd Ward.
He made it.
We've been saying nice things about you.
No, better than what a lot of people say. At least. Surprise return.
Surprise guess.
Yeah. Guess are chat.
No, you guys do your thing.
Yeah, all right. Well, we gave Nate the job of taking us out.
So, yeah. I just love to see it how it used to be. But since we can't, that's a wrap.
Yeah, that's right.
We'd like to thank you, Creepies, for listening to Middle Age Mini number 139. And our discussion on the spooky Linwood Hall. And until next time, we'll see you.
Bye.